Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, Nisha, and William coming to you live every day, talking about what's going on in the HR world with HR people, and you know, other interesting guests that cross our paths. So we want to get to our guests as quickly as possible. So Daniel, welcome back to Drive Through HR. It's been a little while.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Yeah, about a year, probably.
Yeah, so it probably has.
As you can imagine, for me, things have changed a lot because I move very quickly and I do a lot of weird and crazy things in the job world.
Well, that's what makes it interesting. So, if you would, if you introduce yourself, kind of tell folks where you're at with things, and a little bit, maybe just kind of, you know, a reminder of where you were at a year ago. I think that would be a really cool place to start, and then we'll jump in after that.
Absolutely. Well, originally I was brought on to be interviewed by you about my 50 jobs in 50 states journey, where I worked a different job in every state. 1 week at a time, 50 consecutive weeks, and that experience was more than I could have ever planned, bigger than it I ever thought it would be. The experience was incredible in terms of just learning about myself, the country, and different job opportunities I didn't know existed, different industries. Been offered a lot of jobs myself, other than the 50 jobs along the way. So basically my world opened up, and I guess what I was talking to you about last time is how I learned not to limit myself ever since the journey, whether it was my field of study, which was economics, and then, you know, I tried different jobs in terms of being a weatherman, border patrol agent, marine biologist, coal miner, so an array of jobs. And also I opened my mind in terms of just not limiting myself in terms of where I'm from and where I live. So basically living the map is what I called my journey, is because, you know, the map was open to me in terms of utilizing what it provides, you know, in terms of the opportunities, the resources, and whatnot. So ever since then, a year ago, I've been on the lecture circuit internationally, and that's just opened up a lot of doors as well, and more interests on my part, because, you know, I was still kind of confused after finishing all these jobs and having so many different paths I could have taken. I guess that's kind of the backlash of my journey, is like, oh, wow, now there's too much to take on, and too much interest and bigger ambitions out there. But, you know, I'm kind of narrowing it down right now. Since we last spoke, I went on this new journey where I actually have been working in the most struggling and secluded regions of America. So I work on the Indian Reservation doing youth career development in Pine Ridge, South Dakota. I got a job working with migrant field workers in Central California, picking, you know, fruits and vegetables, kind of understanding the sacrifices that they make to do that job. Then I recently finished working with gang members in South Chicago, just kind of understanding what's going on with the violence over there. And then something that I was really most interested in was working as a coach for the most obese town in America, which was in Mississippi, a small town of 1,200 people. So I trained them for a 5K, 10K road race. And then I guess lastly, I worked in Eastern Kentucky, working with a ministry and, you know, just kind of understanding extreme poverty, you know, what this country faces in pockets of America and kind of how these social issues develop and how government plays a role in them and how sometimes they're self-inflicted as well. So it's just been a really interesting journey since we've last spoken. But yeah, I've been busy with the lecture tour and also working on this next book. By the way, the first book, 50 Jobs in 50 States, is only $1.69, brand new on Amazon now, so take advantage of that.
Right.
I'm buying my own copies, too. So does that kind of sum it up, what I've been doing, you know, a little bit here and there?
Oh, yeah. For everybody, it's, again, Daniel Siddiqui, right?
Mm-hmm.
You did a great job, and it's so interesting because just from the first time we talked to now, all the, you know, it's instead of having 50 different stories, you kind of compartmentalized it down to, not that there's not other stories to go with it, but you kind of got it into five or six different areas, right? And so that I think is really kind of the next chapter of what you're doing is just fascinating. How much transition, going from working like with the migrant farm workers to the actual like South Chicago, gang members? I mean, so how does that, how do you transition that and how do you kind of synthesize the experience and then move on to the next one? I mean, I think for most people, that is very much more kind of routine process. Those are just kind of some extremes. Common thread,
right. Totally
get it. But there are kind of some extreme experiences, both geographically and with the groups you're dealing with, and personally,
right. Emotionally,
physically, spiritually even probably. How do you put your head around all that and just kind of keep it together? I don't know.
You're right. That's a wonderful question. And I would have to say that the 50 jobs journey definitely prepared me well for this next one, which I just finished. It hasn't been easy. I had to learn to be adaptable. What I do love is challenging myself. And that's why I continue to do what I do. Just because it's never been done before. I'm very interested in these regions and these different communities, and that's kind of what outweighs my fears and my being out of my element kind of things, just because that drive is what really gets me through and push these barriers of discovery. And that's definitely what I've learned from 50 jobs, and I thought that was hard enough that it would prepare me for anything for the rest of my life. So this was actually not as difficult as the 50 jobs experience, but in terms of preparing myself and going into a new environment, actually dangerous environments, was hard, but I always found the way, you know, as I mentioned last time, if the why is strong enough, the how becomes easy. Now, finding work in these communities was near impossible, you know, even being accepted as an outsider, because most of these are communities are, you would seem to be closed, especially, you know, Native American reservations and being in the ghettos of South Chicago, they can definitely tell if you're an outsider. So I try to build a relationship, showing my genuine interest and trying to make a difference. And I think a lot of people noticed that. So I guess the attitude has become contagious as I go from community to community. I'll just give you an example of my Mississippi experience. I just came up with the idea. I love nutrition and health and wellness, and I just looked up and researched where the most unhealthy community was, and happened to be in Holmes County, Mississippi. And so what I did was just call up the mayors of some of these small towns and asked if I could, you know, train their community and see if I would be welcomed and if I could host an event there in terms of a road race. And the mayor said, yeah, that would be interesting, you know. Why not? You know, so I went down there. The mayor actually died 2 weeks before I got there with a health-related illness. And I kind of felt like, oh, gosh. Maybe I should rethink this. You know, it's really that bad there. And, you know, I heard the town was 100% diabetic. And so I just said, you know what, I promised these people that I was going to be down there and try to make a difference. And so I continued the journey. And when my first night there, only 8 people showed up to my welcome meeting. And I was a little bit discouraged, but, you know, I already made the trip. I was going to maintain a positive attitude and do what I was there to do. And after a month, I had about 120 people participate in my workout sessions four times a day. I had, or actually 3 sessions a day. It worked out towards the end. Just being patient, persistent, and maintaining a good attitude. So I would say those are the things that have really helped me do these transitions from community to community, is just trying to at least make an effort to make a difference, being interested in what these people go through day to day, you know, so firsthand experiencing this, and also just because it's never been done before, and there's probably reasons why it's never been done before, but you know, I'm definitely a risk taker and interested in, you know, my country as a whole, whether it's you know, well known communities like the urban settings and the rural versus the rural America too. So,
well, that is so cool, and I've got a couple of immediate questions. So, how do you fund all your efforts? I'm sure that's got to be a question that just comes up. Like, okay, how do you do this? How do you pay for it? You know, I'm sure that's probably a really early question on like how does this all happen?
Well, you know, I just set it up. And in terms of the logistics, hey, this is when I want to do it. This is how I'm going to do it. And then I kind of say, you know what, I'll find a way to make it happen financially, whether it's, you know, 2 weeks before I get there, whether it's when I'm there, I'm going to make it happen. So, like, for instance, the 50 jobs thing, I didn't have a dime before I started. But then, you know, I was doing honest, hard work in each state, so no employer let me leave without a paycheck. So I had about roughly 45 paychecks in 50 states, and I didn't plan that. It just, you know, happened. And the same thing goes with these journeys. I didn't really have much to start with. My lectures have paid, I guess, have been my biggest financial backing. Just kind of went to these communities, and people are willing to host me in their house, whether it's the coworkers or employers. So I cut down on costs there. But I had enough money to get there from the get-go and leave. but also, I was able to pick up some sponsors for the Mississippi experience. Actually, an organic cereal company caught a word of my journey there, and they said, why don't we help you out and provide this community with cereal. So we had 5,000 cereal boxes shipped there. So about roughly, you know, 4 or 5 boxes per family. And then they were able to market themselves through my website, livingthemap.com, and potentially being mentioned in my book, my next book. So, yeah, just figuring out ways. You know, it doesn't really take much, you know. It's not like I eat, you know, steak and lobster for dinner every night. So it doesn't take much. I was at each of these regions 1 month at a time, and I was able to find a host family to keep me there for a month. So in terms of lodging, I saved thousands of dollars. But in return, I was helping these communities. So it was kind of a win-win situation on both parts. Does that kind of answer your question there?
Yeah, no, that absolutely does. Thank you. Let me do a quick reset for everybody. Everybody listening to Drive Through HR, we've got Daniel. God, I have such a hard time with
Siddiqui.
Your last name. Siddiqui.
Siddiqui. Yeah.
I think I have it, and then I lose it. So Siddiqui.
Yeah.
And just talking about kind of his journey in the background and a little bit of what he's done and the book he's wrote, and it's just so interesting. So let's talk a little bit about some of the different things that you were so memorable, and it can be good and bad, both. You know, like, for example, you know, I'm pretty familiar with the, you know, Native American side of things, and basically grew up not too far south of where the reservation you're on in South Dakota. So I even know kind of the area.
Oh, yeah, you probably know White Clay, Nebraska then, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that is like straight up, that's straight up poverty, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really, really poor, you know, tribe and, you know, nation and reservation in
mm-hmm.
that area.
Mm-hmm.
Is that they're just really, it's a hard area. So I'm just curious, like, and also to talk about like Chicago and then some of the other places you've been and Mississippi, what are some of the things you remember that were, you just were touched by? You know, both good and bad. I'm just curious in those experiences, just from a humanity standpoint, ones that really stuck with you and you'll carry for forever.
Well, that's a great question. It really does take me back to my 50 jobs journey when I was working in medical device industry in Minnesota, that I got hired there to manufacture medical equipment. And they had a going away party for me at the end of my week there, and it was a surprise. And then they handed me like a $1,500 check for my services, and then all my coworkers, which was 80 of them at the time, dug out from the pockets extra cash, which, you know, led to about another $600. And so that point on, I realized how amazing people are, no matter where you go. Whether it's Indian Reservation, you know, gang members in South Chicago or Mississippi Delta, like, you find good in everywhere you go. And what's interesting is that before I went to these struggling communities, like, I had these stereotypes and assumptions like, oh, gosh, these must be horrible people. They're all on drugs. You know, they all want to kill each other, alcoholics, you know, all this, you know, types of violence that you hear on the media, you know,
right.
especially Indian Reservation, you hear about rape and suicide and just everything bad. And so that's kind of what made me want to go on this journey, to hear about, you know, the good in these communities. And that's what I discovered mostly, is like, yeah, there are some major social issues, but and a lot of them I do feel like have been self-inflicted. You know, although they were caused by government insistence, that's what I kind of taken away from my experiences. But, you know, these are good people. Like, I just work with these, you know, young teenagers in South Chicago, and I just kind of felt like, wow, these are good kids. You know, they, you know, they're happy and want attention, you know, just like most kids. And I just felt bad because they were brought up in an environment that I wasn't used to or familiar with. And what if I can give them a chance to, you know, expose themselves to the rest of their country, just seeing different environments? And, like, would that really give them some aspirations or think outside of their box? Just kind of like how I did in California, where I felt like I couldn't limit myself. I had to burst out of my bubble and really discover, and it kind of changed me and my perspective on life and all that. So that's what I would love to try to do in each of these communities, is just have them get exposure to the outside world. And I think that's just the most memorable part of my journey, is to see, like, it was so clear how their environment has restricted them in terms of being inspired, in terms of their aspirations, you know, especially since this is HR radio, just the whole working aspect of things, you know. On the Indian reservation, where you're familiar with, there's only four industries there. You know, the hospital, which is mostly doctors that are non-native. You got the casino, which basically makes no business besides Native Americans themselves. Education, which is probably the ultimate low in the country, and then the tribal affairs, which is very hard to get into. So in terms of them looking for a career, you know, there's not much to aspire to. I did notice a lot of kids, you know, are into, you know, African American culture, you know, with gangs and hip-hop music and playing basketball and all that, but, you know, and that's not going to help them, you know, excel, you know. And that's what I experienced there on the reservation. But so that was my most memorable areas. Yeah,
well, that's and just, it's good to hear that. I mean, it's good for everybody to hear that, because I know that, I mean, I'm a huge, huge Native American fan. My wife's Native, Choctaw and Comanche. So, I mean, I've been around it for a long, long time.
Oh, wow.
And have learned so much. And, you know, I think it's one of those different things, right? Because they're a nation within a nation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by treaty,
mm-hmm.
they are a nation. Like, for example, we'll just use like a South, you know, like I said, the Comanche Nation is a nation that has a treaty with the United States of America. So they're a nation within a nation. And that changes the dynamic of it. It changes the laws of it. It changes a lot of things. And with that comes their own language, their
right.
own traditions. It comes their, you know, just the history component of it culturally is so much more defined and prevalent that really drives, I mean, the elder and the kind of how the hierarchy works within tribes is so cool, because it's really tough to find that. You know, one of the benefits of being, you know, being an American is the fact we have so much choice.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it's limitless opportunity, per se.
Absolutely,
But the other side of that is, you know, we really have a very, in my opinion, of course, we definitely have more of a less defined culture, so to speak, that you can point to that has, like, the specific language that people are trying to carry on, that has been passed down before even anybody can remember. You know what I mean? Before written, it was all oral tradition. And in the way that beadwork is done and the way that clothing is done historically that's been passed on, we just don't have that as much as other places in the world. It's not as important, prevalent. And that's what I think is so cool about American Indian and Native American tribes. Any Native tribes is the fact that they have all of that. And it's still held in very high regard, and it's part of their thought process. I mean, it's very intentional living that keeps that alive. And
right.
I just think that's so cool.
Yeah, I thought it was incredible that, you know, at first they were very closed towards me, you know, looking for a job. You know, no one was really responding to me personally, you know, face to face or emails. People were ignoring me basically. And it just took some time and me being patient and as I mentioned, persistent to really get myself for them to trust me. And then that way, after 3 weeks, I was able to work with a group of youth there, you know, setting up, you know, small jobs on the reservations for them. But it was amazing. I've never met a culture so open. I mean, my gosh, they were telling me everything, more than I needed sometimes. But I don't know if that was kind of like a therapy for them to, you know, share, you know, the good and the bad that they go through every day, or it's just something that they are used to doing, you know. But they really shared their way of life with me. I went to, you know, the traditional ceremony, I forgot what it was called, the Sundance, that's what it is. And it was amazing to experience in that, and I was like, wow, this is my part of my country, and for me get a chance to learn about them. And I just wish that, you know, other communities that are kind of secluded like this could learn about other types of, you know, lives in this country too, to really expand your perspectives on things. So yeah, that was very memorable. Never will forget that. You know, even this girl that I gave a ride home, she said, you know, she just met me like 10 minutes before. She said, can I get a ride home? You know, that would never happen ever in any other place, that a stranger would ask another stranger for a ride home, you know. She really opened up to me on that drive. She said, you know, my mom's drunk. She's supposed to pick me up. I've been suicidal for the past 4 years because her father died and she had a lot of weight on her shoulders because she was basically taking care of her family as a 19-year-old. Right. And it was different than what I thought. I thought most teens would, you know, kill themselves because they don't have a bright outlook, but that wasn't the case. It was because, you know, they have a lot to tackle, you know, and it's very hard because they have to, you know, lift their family with them because a lot of their parents are, you know, totally, you know, gone down the bad road, you know. So if someone wants to lift themselves up, they got to carry everybody else with them. And that's not easy for a teenager, you know. So.
No, it's, well, and that's, I appreciate you sharing that. That's, again, what you're doing is, I think it's just, it's fascinating. I'm glad that you are willing to share that and talk about the experience. And you've continued on. You've got such a passion for it. That's probably, life's really short, and you should do what actually you have a passion for. Because like you said, when you have the why, the how works out. I think that's probably one of the most simplistically profound things that I think anybody can think about today, right?
Yeah.
It's just not complicated. Mm-hmm. When you've got your passion, your purpose, the how will work out. But it's just really dialing into the why. And I think you've just did an amazing story. And I'm glad that a year later we're able to talk about the next chapter of what you've done.
Well, thank you very much. That's what I do it. Why I do it, because I want to share what I've experienced, because most people probably wouldn't go out and see for themselves. So I just, that's basically what I speak about in my lectures, you know, mostly these career conferences and college campuses, is basically the same elements. You know, find your passion, find something worth doing, and you'll find that energy and the answers to all those questions you have, or uncertainty that you have pursuing something. So,
well, where can people find you and track you down and connect with you?
The easiest place is to go to my website, livingthemap.com, and you can email me directly at daniel@livingthemap.com. And also, you know, I'm on Facebook and Twitter as well. So, yeah, I'm open to traveling even to Oklahoma for lecturing, you know, various groups from elementary schools to college campuses.
Okay. Well, fantastic, Daniel. Thank you so much. We're out of time. Get back on. Folks, we'll talk tomorrow.